you characterize Briscoe's administration for us? Could you kind of go back through time? How would you evaluate Smith, Connolly, Daniel, Shivers?
Smith, again, was not an effective leader within the party. He didn't have a strong network of party people. He won the governor's election under very fluky circumstances, 10 candidates running in the primary. He happened to be the conservative that made the runoff with the liberal. And it was pretty easy to win from there on. But he didn't get along well with Connolly or the old Connolly-Johnson forces within the party. He was fighting and feuding with them half the time. And finished up, of course, disastrously weak. He got 6%, 8% in the Democratic primary for when he ran for renomination. That might be a record for an incumbent governor seeking his own party's renomination. It'd be interesting to check that out sometime. But in other words, by the end of his 4 years, his stock was so low. I saw one bumper sticker for Smith in 72, and I was so surprised I drove up behind it and saw it said "Dump Smith." Didn't even say support him. He was ineffective. He wasn't interested in party politics very much. So he was pretty much a zero. He just let the liberal and conservative faction and Wallace Ike fight it out. And made the best man win. I think the liberals felt he was fairly fair on party matters. He didn't have any solutions he was trying to impose. Connolly, of course, would be very much the opposite. Intensely interested in party affairs, tremendous connections all over the state. He would do things, say, in 66, a year he was going to be easily reelected, at token opposition to the Democratic primary. He arranges to go on statewide television the day or two before the primary and talk about there's a liberal plot that's the liberals are organizing to take over the precinct conventions. And, you know, he really whipped up the troops to get out and prevent this liberal takeover with some degree of success. Well, Smith would have never considered doing anything like this. But Connolly was an active party leader. He was interested in party affairs. He tried to run the party. He wanted to control the state party organization and generally was successful. After the assassination attempt, he himself was in some trouble at that point and probably faced a tough race for re-election, but after Oswald, his position within the party was unchallenged until he retired as governor. Before him, Price Daniel Sr. had served 6 years. Most of his administration was hung up with these terrible money problems. The state had no sales tax, no income tax, and it was just continually in a terrific financial bind. And poor Daniel happened to be caught up in this, and he was ideologically opposed to both the sales tax and an income tax, and there was no possibility of an income tax anyway, but he had troubles through his administration. He remained moderately popular, but he wasn't an extremely vigorous party leader. He, I would guess, would fall somewhere between a Smith-Briscoe type and a Connolly or a Shivers, who was very, very interested in party affairs and very influential. I think Shivers, like Connolly, was the sort of person who wanted to run everything and worked hard at it. He had ideas, he wanted to see these implemented. Shivers probably helped the liberals here because of the fact that he did defect in while governor supported Eisenhower in 52 and 56, and this was a stimulus to liberals to organize, to take back over control of the party.
And Briscoe is generally perceived by liberals to be basically fair on party matters, is that it?
Pretty fair, pretty fair. The liberals' view of Briscoe is you got to push him. So the wheel that squeaks gets greased type thing. If you press him and push him, he'll at least give you something. Their view is he dislikes conflict. He wants to try to preside over a reasonably happy party. And so they think he's fairly fair. They think his gut inclinations are not favorable to them, certainly. But he doesn't want a bitter, factionalized party. And as such, he has been willing to deal somewhat. But he doesn't deal directly. He uses his agents like Calvin Guest, who are not skilled political operators in many instances. Now, Briscoe has a very low level of people around him, I think, in terms of competence in party matters.
How about Strauss? What's his role in Democratic Party matters in Texas?
I don't see too many of his footprints here in the state. I think, you know, he's had so damn many problems nationally that he just has not had the attention or the ability to give much attention to Texas. Before his elevation to national party prominence, he was a, you know, a moderately influential person. He was unknown outside of Dallas, but he was one of part of the old Johnson, then Conley connection, and close to Benson. I think his view since he's been away at the National Committee has been that Texas politics is such a snake pit that, you know, he should just stay out of it down here unless it's absolutely necessary to intervene. And it's doubtful that his intervention could accomplish much, because neither the Wallaceites, who probably constitute a minimum of 10 or 15% of the intra-party forces within the Democrats, are the liberals, who maybe are 30%, trust Strauss. I mean, they're pretty standoffish about him and his leadership. In 76, one thing to watch here will be with the Wallaceites and the liberals combined to try to frustrate Benson. The Wallaceites are probably
the
better organized.
Who's the main Wallace leader?
Well, Halt Manis is the, you know, the official wing of the Wallace Party's leader. He's the Houston-based national committeeman. And Wallace has used to Manis on a number of occasions as his spokesman, say, in the Democratic National Committee. To Manis is a longtime conservative activist. He represents the official Wallace forces. There's the other element of the Wallaceites. You're the hard-line American Party types whose first commitment is to the American Party. Many of them are Birchers. They have past associations with other radical movements like the Conservative or the Constitution Party in Texas. Brad Logan, say, would be a representative figure of this group. And they're always squabbling with Tamanus and the official Wallace forces, the ones that the governor has laid hands on and said, these are my people. That undercurrent of conflict comes out in some of these precinct fights where the insurgent, non-official Wallace people are quite willing to cut deals with liberals. But Tamanus has so far stayed away from that. He wants nothing to do with liberals at this point. But strategies may change in 76.
You were asking me.
But if you have a chance, it might be meaningful to talk to Tamanus if you could get to see him.
Liberals shrinking in state politics, continue to shrink.
I think so.
The way we read it is they don't have any candidates. Nobody wants to call themselves a liberal anymore.
Right.
They all want to be moderates. And I think there is more than just semantics involved there.
Right. Part of it, I think, is that the old visible enemies, the devils, are fading away. And the liberals, you know, always had great devils in Texas.
Well, they're losing what they had to feed their paranoia, but the way we were.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some of that. The state leadership has become somewhat more progressive and moderate. It ceased to be racist, for example. When Briscoe visits the Fifth Ward, which is the poorest slum area, it's over 99% black in Houston, and the state representative, who looks like he could as equally be at home in the Black Panther Party as the Democratic Party, puts his arm around him. Things have changed a little bit.
Is that one of the biggest changes in the past 25 years?
I think so. As Keith pointed out, you know, race wasn't critical in Texas the way it was in other states, because there were virtually no blacks in 2/3 or so of the state. In a large part of the state, Mexican Americans were the minority, and white Mexican American relations have always been different than black white relations. So Texas didn't have the race factor as the underlying motive or driving force in politics the way it was in the other 10 states, but except in East Texas where in local politics that certainly was true. But you know, the race thing has become more moderate. The Democratic candidates now have to have black votes to beat Republicans. No Democratic candidate of any intelligence, no Democratic nominee of any intelligence is going to offend black voters in the state.
Is it fair to say that the Republican Party in Texas has become strong enough and has attracted enough of the conservative vote to take the edge off the old conservative-liberal split in the Democratic Party?
Well, the problem is they don't get any votes in the primary. If you look at Republican primary participation, the best year was 64. It was about 145,000 that year. Recently, they've stalled out right at 100,000. In a state with over 5 million voters, that's just a ridiculous primary
vote. Even the single-member districts has not increased their primary participation?
Very, very little. They don't have very many competitive primaries. Usually, you know, they have one or two candidates at most running in most districts. They haven't had any good state races in recent years where there's been hard-fought competition. Grover had competition in 72, but it just never got off the ground. I think one of the factors that's hurt the Republican Party here is this no party registration factor, that all the conservatives remain free to vote in the Democratic primary, and that's always where the action is. So why not go over and vote there? And you just have the hardcore Republican vote, you know, which is about 7% maybe of the normal Republican vote in the general election that stays in the primary. Republicans can count on minimum in a major turnout election, 1 million votes statewide, and 1.5 million. But they get 100,000 in their primary. So
that's reduced there, this pulling off. But it has been a factor here, because in Harris County, the Republicans do get a decent vote. They get 20, 25, 30, once they get 38,000, I think, to vote in their primary. And, you know, they just subtract those votes from the conservative Democrats, there's no question of that. Benson, for example, lost this county to Yarbrough back in the primary, although this was Benson's home county. And he lost it by...
The Republicans were drawing a heavy turnout in their primary, and it cut Benson's margin to the west side.
Conservative votes that the conservatives would be wiped out in the primaries by liberals, and then you'd get a kind of polarized general election where you have liberals fighting conservative Republicans.
But the Republicans' strategy never clicked. They weren't able to pull voters into their own primary. There's a great statement in one of McCleskey's early Texas government books by E.B. Germany, the old Lone Star Steel guy, that summarizes the logic of why conservatives should not vote.
Community now is between the blacks who are oriented toward labor
and are somewhat more willing, say, to work with Briscoe,
and between the blacks who are anti-labor.
Southern state.
Well, I guess it's more than that.
End interview with Richard Murray. No more transcription this tape.